My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel and the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. He has joined us many times to discuss marriage in the courts. And obviously on Wednesday, we got two major decisions from the U.S. Supreme Court, both of them 5-4 rulings. The first one striking down part of the Defense of Marriage Act, which will now allow folks married in states that allow same-sex marriage to get federal benefits as a result of those marriages as well. They also dismissed defenders of Proposition 8 based on standing today, and we'll talk about both of those in a minute. Matt, it's always good to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Good to be with you.
The majority opinion in the Defense of Marriage Act case, written by Justice Anthony Kennedy in the 5-4 decision, says in a couple different points, he says, under DOMA, same-sex married couples have their lives burdened by reason of government decree in visible and public ways. DOMA's principal effect is to identify a subset of state-sanctioned marriages and make them unequal. I know you disagree with that ruling. What do you have to say in reaction to his rationale?
I take Justice Sandra Day O'Connor's word back in 1992 when she said the only authority of the Supreme Court is the fact that the people consider its decisions to be legitimate, well-reasoned, and grounded in the Constitution. This particular decision crosses that line. I think it's absolutely undermines the legitimacy of the court and its moral authority in the eyes of the people. This is an absurd ruling. As Justice Scalia has said, that this particular court has now got some vaulted understanding of its authority. First of all, they should have never addressed the merits of the case. And secondly, when they did address the merits of the case, there's no way that this violates equal protection. In fact, the court didn't even do a typical equal protection analysis. So consequently, that is a decision that is clearly beyond the constitutional authority of the court.
Why do you believe it never should have been argued on the merits?
Well, because this is the first case in the history of the court. Understand, this is the first one where you have the United States government agreeing with the district court ruling below, and the plaintiffs also agreeing with the district court ruling below, meaning that there's no controversy. They have no adversarialness between the two. When the district court made its decision, in which it struck down the Section 3 of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, the plaintiffs obviously wanted that decision to be that way, and the Department of Justice under President Obama ultimately agreed with the decision. How did this thing even get to the United States Supreme Court? That's the thing that befuddles the dissenters. This is the first case in the history of the country that's been before the U.S. Supreme Court where the parties all agree that the ruling below is correct. Therefore, it should never have gone to the Court of Appeals, and certainly the U.S. Supreme Court has absolutely no jurisdiction. This is just an advisory opinion, if you will. There's no controversy. There's no adversarialness between the parties. This is unprecedented that the court took this step to actually even decide the merits of the case. And then when it decided the merits of the case, it used words such as bigotry and hostility and demeaning, referring to the Equal Protection Clause, but it never did an Equal Protection Clause analysis. Every Equal Protection Clause analysis has to at least determine several things. One is the so-called right that you're after, one that is rooted in history and part of our idea of ordered liberty. What is the right, first of all? Here they're asking for the right to be same-sex marriage. Has that been rooted in our history? Is it part of ordered liberty? The answer to that is obviously no. The reason why they didn't address that question is because they would have had to have come to an opposite conclusion. They skipped it. It's unbelievable. This is just five people that have written a piece of opinion and issued it under the guise of the U.S. Supreme Court, but it has no grounding in the constitutional text or in the history of its previous precedent.
You mentioned Justice Scalia's dissent. Part of it reads, quote, "It takes real cheek for today's majority to assure us as it is going out the door that a constitutional requirement to give formal recognition to same-sex marriage is not at issue here, when what has preceded that assurance is a lecture on how superior the majority's moral judgment in favor of same-sex marriage is to the Congress's hateful moral judgment against it. I promise you this," he says, "the only thing that will confine the court's holding is its sense of what it can get away with." Obviously, he's on the losing side here, but do you think the ferocity of his dissent will impact how the court may look at future cases?
The only way it's going to impact how the court looks at future cases is how the people respond to it. As he says, if the court thinks it can get away with this kind of nonsense, then it'll get away with it, and it'll go further beyond even today. But if the court ultimately gets pushback from the people and the people say, this is absurd, this is absolutely absurd, how can we have any trust in this kind of decision maker, then I think the court will have to pull back. Really, I think the real question right now is not the court, but what's the people going to do?
Matt, those in favor of preserving traditional marriage, as you are, I've seen a couple different approaches to their reaction. One is that this could have been a lot worse from your perspective, because one of these rulings on either DOMA or Proposition 8 could have had a blanket legalization of gay marriage across the country. So they say that's in some ways a silver lining here. Others say the rationale for striking down part of DOMA could easily be used in a future case to do the very same thing. Which side, if either, do you generally subscribe to?
Well, certainly in the short term, it's not the blanket same-sex marriage across the country. That's something that we could have actually had from this case today. But on the other hand, this is the 1972 contraception for individual cases that ultimately laid the foundation for the 1973 Roe versus Wade case. This is the groundwork for same-sex marriage that the court laid today. There's no question about it. The way that they wrote this decision, while it doesn't put same-sex marriage across the country, they are telegraphing that's what they want to do. And they will open up the floodgates of litigation, and they are begging for another case to come to the high court. This decision crosses the line, and the people have to respond, or they're going to be under a ruling oligarchy of five individuals that have untethered themselves. They've cut the line between themselves and the Constitution.
We're talking with Matthew Staver of Liberty Counsel. And Matt, on the Proposition 8 case, as you suspected back when the oral arguments happened, essentially the majority rejected the defense of Proposition 8 based on standing. The five that came together on this one were not the five most people would expect. It was Roberts, Ginsburg, Breyer, Kagan, and Scalia. The four dissenters were Kennedy, Sotomayor, Alito, and Thomas. So clearly not along normal ideological lines. Some believe that Roberts and Scalia went along with that majority to make sure that there wasn't a broader decision. What did you make of that makeup on the five?
Well, it's a little bit odd makeup, but I think it's the right decision. I mean, I think it's very clear that's what the ruling should be. On the other hand, you know, you could have had an argument that since the California courts considered that the initiative proponents had standing, that therefore they had standing. But frankly, I think it's the right decision. Now, what it ultimately does is it limits same-sex marriage to California, but even only a portion of California, the Northern District of California, not the Southern or Middle District. The Southern District is San Diego in the greater area. The Middle is Los Angeles in the greater area. But the Northern is San Francisco in its greater area. So that's where this same-sex marriage ruling will have an impact. There's going to be additional litigation in California to see how far they can spread this throughout California, and certainly we'll be involved in that litigation as well.
Matt, real quick, you mentioned that this could lead to another case pretty quickly that heads back to the Supreme Court, and you also mentioned that the American people need to make their voices heard. How specifically do they need to do that?
Well, we'll be talking about, I think, how people need to do that in the near future. We had over 200 prominent leaders from around the country, clergy, Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, and other leaders, sign a solidarity statement at marriagesolidarity.com. We're asking other people to sign on to that as well. That essentially says that this is fundamental to who we are, and this is a line that we cannot and will not cross. And I think we'll see what ultimately happens in the near future, but I think what this is doing is dividing the country. This is the thing that revolutions are made of. You can't impose this kind of thing so substantial on the people and take away the democratic process. But even more so than that, undermine an institution that predates civil government and religion and that is ontologically part of the created order as the union of one man and one woman.
Matt, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, as always, for your time and your insight.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Matthew Staver is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. He's the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.